From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This is part one of a special two-part episode with Alex Botwin, better known as Alex B. Boulder's Botwin has been on the scene since he was touring in his late teens with Numa Trio, the seminal Livetronica act. As B started investing more and more into his beat-making and live productions, and Numa Trio began touring less and less, the Alex B name took off, not just as a goof-around DJ project, but as a viable solo act. While Alex B music became synonymous with the beat scene and Flylo's brain feeder, Botwin launched an entirely new persona, Paper Diamond, whose world revolved around the burgeoning bass music scene. Botwin joined forces with his old Colorado buddy Derek Vincent Smith on his new Pretty Lights music label, and the Paper Diesel has been on the march ever since. On today's episode, we'll dive into Alex B's musical background, what differentiates Paper Diamond from his past productions, and we'll predominantly focus on his sound. Tomorrow, we discuss his label, Elman Oak, the early days of Pretty Lights, and his nutty festival schedule. Today's show is brought to you by Moody Music, one of the premier labels for that West Coast bass movement. The Bay Area Tastemaker's latest release comes from Greg Reeve, aka T.O.B., one-third of hip-hop act The Realist. Reeve made a detour into film and television scoring, but he's back on the scene producing grimy drumstep. However, his orchestral roots show through on his new Decoy EP. Let's listen to what Ill Gates and Duff did to the track. The Ill Gates and Dove remix of Greg Reeves' Decoy, out now on Moody Music. Alright, let's get to the interview with Alex B, aka Paper Diamond. You've been a dominant figure in the jam and electronica scenes for years now, but a lot of your fans, and I frankly don't, I don't know a lot about your backstory. Can you give me the sort of quick and dirty on your early musical education? What were you listening to as a kid? When did you first pick up an instrument? That sort of thing.
Yeah, sure thing. I started playing violin when I think I was 3 or 4 years old. And at the time, it's kind of funny, I liked classical music when I was like really, really young. And it turned into when I was about 12 years old, I got my first guitar, and I went and started taking lessons for the guitar, and the guitar teacher told me that to be a well-rounded musician, I really needed to learn bass and drums and start on the piano as well. So that same teacher moved from teaching me just guitar to teaching me bass to teaching me all kinds of stuff, and moving on to the drums, and even recording. Like back then, we were recording the practices on reel-to-reel, and so I would play over recordings that we would make in his studio, which was my practice space. So from there, I went to playing bands in high school and middle school and in college. And during high school, I actually went to a music production and computer design school for half the day during high school. And so I'd be messing around in the studio for half the day, and the teacher recommended that I go to a school in Tennessee, which is the second best recording school in the country.
Is that SAE?
It's Middle Tennessee State University.
Okay.
I'm not actually sure where it ranks currently, and it really doesn't even matter, but they have a really great music program there. And so I went there for music production with a minor in music business and playing full-time there, just playing my bass constantly. And I met the guys from Numa, and we all dropped what we were doing and started touring and writing music full-time, and I have been doing it since. And I was 19 years old when that started, and I'm 26 now.
That's fantastic. Not only did you have a really well-rounded background, but obviously you've been sticking with it. Let's back up a bit. What sort of music teacher is getting a kid into recording and all that? What was his specific background?
I don't know. He was kind of like a rock guy. I mean, back then that was kind of what was in. It was like fast guitar playing. You know what I mean? And but you know, he would teach me about rudiments and playing like even using certain ideas that you would use as drums on bass guitar, you know what I mean? Like, and
very percussive elements and sort of, taking those ideas and shifting them and transposing them to other instruments, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting about that is, you know, bass guitar really kind of took over for me for a whole bunch of years. And it's interesting now moving into bass music, which, cause as a bass player, you have to play your role as that part of the band. So you hear things like you listen to what a different person being the drummer, a different person being the piano is doing. So now it's interesting with what I'm able to do now, because I'm still kind of playing that role with the music that we're making. It's pretty bass heavy music, but I'm just creating everything else as well, the drums and the keys and everything else. And it's been really, really enjoyable to have that freedom.
I guess you've been there through that whole progression, because I guess when you were a kid and first starting out playing bass, it was still considered, you know, an accompanying instrument, not usually riding the melody. And then, you know, you move into your background in rock and then electronic music, and suddenly the bass is stepping out more melody is shifting to the bass and higher frequencies are sort of left behind. And now, you know, this full-fledged bass movement where, you know, bass is God and the low frequencies rule. So you've sort of seen that evolution through your training and into your actual musical career.
Yeah, certainly. And when we talk about my influences, they differed from my teachers. You know, my teacher was more of a rock guy, but I was kind of well-rounded. You know, I mean, I liked jazz because of my grandparents, and my grandmother she's a jazz piano player. And,
oh, that's fantastic.
You know, my mom plays piano, my dad plays trumpet, and so they were all driving me to play music my whole life. Like, my mom used to take, you know, since I was very small. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that the background is definitely well-rounded, and that kind of coincides with what kind of music, you know, with the Alex B stuff. I was sampling a lot of the stuff that I had been influenced by earlier in my life, and now it's nice to have that, because I'm still actually working on stuff like that. I'm just currently releasing Paper Diamond stuff, because it's where I'm really having a good time doing it, and pretty much for me at this point, it's all about having fun and, you know, doing something positive with the music. And so that's where I am right now I'm still making other mid-tempo and down-tempo stuff. I just, right now I'm releasing the Paper Diamond stuff.
So Alex B isn't dead. It's like when Obi-Wan tells Luke, you know, Darth Vader killed your father, but then later Luke's like, you know, you said Darth Vader killed my dad, but like Paper Diamond still hasn't eaten away at Alex B. Alex B is still there. Is George Lucas rolling over in his, well, I guess he's not dead yet. Rolling over in his golf cart, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Alex, that's my name. So it's like, it's still me. And I just, this gives me the freedom to do whatever I really want to do. You know what I mean? And I might put out some of the more down-tempo stuff as Paper Diamond. I haven't really decided how I want that to play. But that the music still influences me, and I'm still, you know, influenced by a lot of the new jazz stuff that's coming out now, like some of the Brain Feeder stuff. I still am super I keep on top of that stuff. And mm-hmm. But I think it's important to be on top of all kinds of new music that's coming out, so you can stay, you know, relevant and, you know, make things that people can enjoy still. Like, I think that embracing the new technology as opposed to being scared of it is, at least for me personally, the way that I like to do things.
Alex B's Mr. Nice Guy mix featuring tracks from his 2010 release, Moments.
You started doing production with Numa Trio. When did it become a full-scale endeavor for you? When did you decide to take the leap and say, you know, I've been playing not only with this band, but I've been playing organic instruments for a while. I'm going to sort of step out and just do this live production, laptops and gear set up rather than, you know, sort of putting your bass aside, at least for the time being, maybe.
Well, as far as putting the bass aside, I definitely am still playing my bass. It's just now I'm playing it on recordings. And what's interesting is I've been able to go out and play some shows with Big Gigantic when I play bass over their whole set, which is just really insanely fun for me. And, you know, basically I started working on production stuff before I was in Numa, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of one of the things that I brought to the table starting with Numa, is that I had songs that I had already written that I, you know, and like new computer sounds. And at the time, like, there wasn't that many people doing that, you know what I mean? So at least not on, that was like when home studio stuff started, you know what I mean? Like, we're talking when I was 17 years old. Like, my friends, if they wanted to hang with me, they had to come over because I was still stuck in front of the computer, you know? Which, very little has changed, you know. I still am just in the studio like that.
When did you decide that go whole hog into live production?
Right. So with Numa, it was kind of always my my release for making dancier music. You know what I mean? And so for the Alex B stuff, I was able to get out a different, almost stylistically, like, I was trying to just differ from it as much as I could as like a musical outlet. Like, okay, I'm just going to do whatever I want with this because I have this other project that is my main focus. You know what I mean? So I think everyone kind of has... Well, let me preface this by saying that I still talk to the guys in Numa fairly regularly. And, like, you know, I don't think that there's definitely talks of doing stuff in the future. It's just that we're all enjoying what we're doing so much right now that...
Sure, they got mansions on the moon.
Right. And, yeah, so it's, you know, I'm stoked for them and I want nothing more than for everybody to succeed. So it's nice that we're all on the same page like that, where they can go and do their thing, I'm doing my thing, and then when the time is right, we're going to come back and play more shows or whatever we feel like doing. You know what I mean? Like, Ben and I actually have a lot of songs that just we haven't even released that we're just sitting on, and it's just about timing and stuff. But it's good that we're all still talking.
That's good. I think that the fans want to know that there's no animosity and that there is the potential of stuff further down the road, because, you know, it's still a seminal group and people still are very attached to the songs and the catalog that you have behind Numa Trio.
Certainly, we understand that. And just as far as so exactly. I mean, we realize that and we feel the same way. You know, I mean, I grew up with those dudes pretty much.
Yeah.
In the meantime, since when that started to slow, because, you know, everyone just musically was moving a little bit in different directions, like, you know, you can hear where they're kind of moving towards, and I've been moving in towards a different realm as well. And so it's just like, musically, there was a bit of separation for a bit. And so, you know, once I realized that we were going to probably not be touring as much with Numa this year, I was like, okay, well, now I probably need to take the solo stuff serious as opposed to just doing it. Like, for me, the Alex B stuff, that's my hobby, you know what I mean? And the Paper Diamond stuff is definitely my hobby. I mean, making music for me is therapeutic, to say the least, you know?
Yeah.
I just realized that, you know, I wanted to make that my main project for now. And so that's kind of just when it started. So, I mean, my first shows were the four shows leading up to New Year's Eve this last year. So it really hasn't been very long that I've been doing this, you know?
Spain from Numa Trio's Live from Red Rocks release.
I want you to sort of break down that progress you made as an artist between last year's Moments and this year's Levitate album. I mean, obviously, it's two separate entities, but where do you see yourself musically evolving and adapting and changing? Is it technological? Is it completely different influences that are pushing you? Or is it just the sort of line that defines Paper Diamond from Alex B is this very different focus on completely disparate, I guess, not movements or scenes, but sounds or aesthetics?
Sure. Well, I mean, for me, I don't really know. I just am making what I feel like making. Like, I'm still just making what comes out. You know what I mean? Like, if I felt like making sample beats, like, I still am making sample beats, and I'm working with running this label as well, you know, Elm and Oak. I'm working with some hip hop guys. Like, we're about to announce a new hip hop artist named Quiz that we just signed, and he's going to be starting to put out some mixes on there. So I've been making beats for him, and been working on some stuff for future beat tapes. But I just let it come out how it comes out. So I am not saying that I won't release other type music as Paper Diamond. I just haven't really had that. But it's interesting because there's a lot of like people when I was doing Numa and people knew Alex B at the same time, like people feel differently about different stuff because it's completely different, you know. Like, people love Numa, and then the Alex B stuff is kind of on a completely different page.
I think still people trust you enough to say, well, you know, I liked what he did with XYZ, so I will listen to, you know, his new project, or there's I imagine a ton of overlap.
Yeah, there's been a bunch. I would say that that's probably accurate. Or, I mean, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the Numa fans like still come and talk to me about all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? When I'm at festivals and shows and thing like that. And really, I don't know. I mean, not really much has changed. I was still making stuff like this before, but before it was for Numa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And absolutely. Now it's just like I'm still making that same kind of stuff, progressing in the direction that, you know, I feel like going, and then I see music going and where production is, and you know, and I think that although it may be leaning towards a dancier feel, like there's still a lot of the same things that, you know, melodically and like chord structures and things like that, that, you know, I wrote for Numa and that we wrote together.
Yeah. I wonder, so there's no definitive thought process. You sit down in your studio and you've got some melody or a bass line or a beat running through your head, and there's not some sort of conscious decision, this is an Alex B song, or this is Paper Diamond, or this is, you know, whatever. It just sort of flows, and then you have to sort of decide what to do with it later.
That's definitely what's happening. I mean, I will just sit down and make whatever I feel like making. Sometimes I'll just put on a record and put one up and just sit back and listen and really figure out like if I sample stuff. But as of recently, I just got a new Rhodes, and actually it's not a new Rhodes, but to me it's new. But so it's, you know, I've been playing a lot of piano sitting here, so I'll write chord progressions on there, and then I'll be like, okay, I'm just going to plug this in and put a tone on it. You know what I mean? So it's whatever I feel like doing, really. And I've been flying around and seeing all these other artists and, you know, taking in all these different kinds of music. I feel pretty much constantly inspired. Like, I'll even make songs on the airplane, or I'll start stuff like, you know, touring with Pretty Lights and Bass Nectar and Mimosa, Tigran, and, you know, just feeling constantly inspired, Skrillex, and doing all these people at the festivals, like Big Gigantic and everybody, and getting to see all these types of music. But I've been trying to listen to all kinds of music besides just the scene as well, and really, like, you know, keep a broad outlook on music.
I'd like to break that down a bit. You get strong reactions in your live presentation of your tunes, but really it's very subtle music. There's a lot of craft in it, a lot of emphasis on composition and melody. Would you consider yourself a minimalist? I mean, your tracks are, I imagine, deceptively simple, but you're not trying to blow people's heads off with intense bass wobble like some of your contemporaries, maybe a Mimosa or a Bass Nectar.
Yeah, I don't know. I just make I don't consciously try. Like, I'm not really, right now I haven't been making like that style of music. I don't know. I really enjoy melody, and I feel like it adds emotion to the songs, you know what I mean? Which is kind of like, I don't think that you need to be always super complex and overdo things to get your point across. And sometimes like the thing that says the most is like simple, is not saying that much. You know what I mean? Like a lot of things with music is space as well. Space in music is, it's like, when I grew up playing in college, like we used to play all the time. And basically the thought process was that every line or instrument should be a voice. Like it should say something, you know, music, should be a conversation that, you know, when you're in a band, it's a conversation between different people. But when you're working by yourself, you have to think about creating each track or each, like, you know, melody or each chord, like, to say something.
Let's diverge slightly from Paper Diamond. What happens when you combine Nick Gritt's thunderous bass cannon with Stefan Jacobs' penchant for glitch? A pizza party, duh. From Pizza Party, the new free EP from Nick Gritt and Stefan Jacobs, which just came out yesterday. It's got a lot of bass heads salivating. Let's get back to the interview with Alex B. Tell me about how this Rhodes is influencing your sound. Is it giving you thoughts of going vintage and giving a little throwback element to your music when you're working with such, you know, futuristic technology? I'm sure you've got all sorts of whizzing gear and dials and blinking lights in front of you as you're working with this very, you know, this throwback instrument.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really make me want to make throwback stuff. I feel like a lot of the Alex B stuff is throwback stuff. Like, it's kind of an, you know, I've been sampling from all kinds of old stuff. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I have all kinds of stuff in the studio, and I'm still using all kinds of stuff. And sometimes I'll even, you know, just use plugins on tracks and run it through outboard gear after. But I just, for me, it's like I really never had, like, a piano, or, like, since I lived in my mom's house, I haven't had a piano that, like, she has a grand piano in her house. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to be able to write music on something besides synthesizers and then take it to that. So I think it definitely influences, because I can just play piano and it's a different kind of field. So it definitely influences me, but it doesn't really make me want to make anything specifically. I just, you know, and a lot of the stuff too is, since I know that I'm playing a lot of shows, like, I've been making stuff that I know that will be fun for me to play live. And it all goes back to having a good time and making sure that, you know, people are having fun and that the music is enjoyable and real and says something, that's not just, you know, throwing it out there to blow people's heads off. And I think that is fun. Like, when I saw Skrillex play the other night, it's just like, it's insane. You know what I mean? Like, people are freaking out the whole time. And the same with Bass Nectar Lauren. Like, you know, I've known him for quite some time, and he's moved in different directions, and to see where he's at now is just wild, you know?
How do you think your sound sort of meshed with this recent run with Skrillex? Did you feel like you needed to maybe adapt to his high energy, over the top antics, or did you feel like you needed to differentiate yourself so you maybe made it a little bit, you know, groove heavy and more focused on melody?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that. I mean, the first night that I played with him was interesting because, well, actually every night, like, they have heavy dubstep playing for all the other openers, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So like the openers before me, and Skrillex isn't one to, like, make people turn, like, everyone is pretty much at the same volume the whole night. You know what I mean? Like, he's not turning down his openers. He's like, he's just letting people do their thing, you know? So for me to come on, like, right after heavy dubstep, which is just like, it's rock. It's like new rock music. You know what I mean?
It's the metal of the electronic world, essentially, just getting kids pumped and amped, and it's all hype. It's all hype.
Right, which I enjoy. So the first night, you know, I came in and I started to play some of the mid-tempo stuff from the beginning, and I think it kind of caught some people off guard, you know what I mean? Because they were so a lot of the people don't really know that much about other type stuff right now, you know? So it caught some people off guard. So when I came into the second night of playing with him, I started off with stuff that was around the same BPM and then moved into the stuff that maybe they wouldn't be into as much normally and saw an amazing response from that, you know? And some of the people that I've seen commenting on the pages are people that, you know, I'm glad that are interested in the music. And I think that it was good to bridge the music from something extremely heavy like that into a more melodic and kind of expose people to a whole different thing that you can do with bass music. Whatever you want to call it, dance music. Not even everything on Levitate is dance music. Like some of like the track Snowfall, for example, is, you know, it's kind of like a cool out track.
Going to do it for the first half of the UNT podcast interview with Alex B. You can catch Paper Diamond at the Bounce Festival, Regeneration, Electric Forest, Camp Visco 10, Global Dance Festival, the Royal Family Affair, and tons more dates. Stay on the ball by visiting theunts.com/paperdiamond. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll finish off the interview with Alex Botwin. We talk about his label Elmen Oak, his busy festival schedule, joining forces with Pretty Lights Music, and his remix for the latest Pirates of the Caribbean movie. I'll also be playing tracks from artists joining Paper Diamond at STS9's Regeneration at the end of June at Horning's Hideout. That's sort of a clue about who's going to be making an appearance on the show very, very soon. Tweet about who you're excited to see and let me know who you'd like to hear on the program by hitting up @TheUnts Podcast, all one word, on the Twitter. Let's check in on theunts.com contest page. We still have pairs of festival passes for North Coast in Chicago, Liberate in Vermont, Camp Barefoot in West Virginia, Resurgence, Recreation, and Underground Sound. We've got two contests currently on in St. Louis. One of those is for Schism and Prophet Massive, the other for the Glitch Mob. You also have a chance to win a 12-inch single from the LA Noir remixed EP for all you gamers out there. And there's many more contests going on than even that. All you have to do to enter yourselves into any one or all of these contests is simply visit theunts.com, sign up, click on the contest tab, look for the contest you want to enter, and then press the button. It's the best kept secret on the web. Free pairs of tickets. How can you beat that? Please visit theunts.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunts.com. That's ANAND @theunts.com. We'll catch you on tomorrow's episode.